My name is Ron Black. I'm with the Lighthouse Children's Home. And usually at this point, I would introduce my wife, but currently I'm without adult supervision. She is in Ohio taking care of her mother. About 7 weeks ago, my mother-in-law had triple bypass surgery, a heart valve. Came through that fine, but 2 days later, she passed out and broke her leg. But praise the Lord, she's getting released next Friday. It has been an amazing journey to watch her. She's just newly saved, been saved about 3 years. And to see her, to use the Lord to conquer fear has been a wonderful thing. But a little bit about myself. I've been with the ministry since 2005. Started in Mississippi. I call it hippie. It's just easier. And I short down Kosciuszko to Kozzy. It's just a lot easier. But we grew up in Akron, Ohio. Originally a Buckeye, please don't hate me. That's where my parents hatched me. But I grew up in church, was that child who never sat still, never paid attention. People thought they could probably smack and Jesus would say amen. But the Lord led me the long way around, and I got saved in 1999 and then surrendered to preach in 2003 and joined the ministry in 2005. I have held probably about every position in the Lighthouse that you can imagine. Been the dorm parent, the toilet cleaner, the maintenance guy, the directors, field reps. Currently what we're doing and where the Lord has led is I am now the administrative director. Brother Neff is 77 years old, just turned 77, and the Lord ain't come back, so we're looking to the future. My wife and I have taken over for the Nefs. We'll be leading the ministry until the Lord comes back or he takes me out, whichever comes first. And part of what we do is we get to come to churches like yours and tell you thank you. Because without churches like yours, we couldn't do what we do. We couldn't rescue these kids. We couldn't help them. In Costa Rica, we're doing well. We just were down there, and Diana, one of the girls, first girls that came into the home, she just got married. And she married the son of the man that brought her to the children's home. And they're doing well. Our goal for these children that come into our home is very simple. We want to see them in a personal relationship with God through Christ. We don't teach them about a religion. We teach them about a relationship through the Savior. We can feed them. We can educate them. We can help them physically. But the most important thing we give them is the Word of God. We give them how to have a relationship with God. Now, is it up to them? Absolutely. You can't force someone to be saved, but we sure give them the opportunity. Then we teach our kids how to let go of God. Our kids come in with a lot of baggage. In Costa Rica, we had a family of five come into our home. Their parents moved to Nicaragua one day. Just got up in the middle, got up one morning, packed their stuff, and left. Left them with 3 days' worth of food. That ran out after about a day and a half, and the neighbors found out, put them in the patronato, which is like children's services, and they gave them to us. In that family of five, there's a set of twins, David and Daniel. David said that, you know, his mindset was, I must have been a bad kid for my parents to leave me like that, so I'm going to be a bad kid. Well, he's currently in prison. Daniel, on the other hand, surrendered his life to the Lord a few years ago, and now he's the first full-time evangelist in Central America. He's currently on deputation in the States. The difference was Daniel surrendered, said, here am I, Lord, use me. And we want our kids to help overcome. And you can overcome problems if you have faith in the Lord. Then all of our homes are connected to a local New Testament church. We teach our kids how to soul win, door knock, serve. We have preachers, we have singers. We have Sunday school teachers, we have ushers, we have all of our kids are part of a local New Testament church. We want to see our kids saved, surrendered, and living a separated life. Currently, we have 7 homes in 6 countries, Costa Rica, Panama, 2 homes, Mexico, India, Thailand, and Philippines. Philippines is our newest home. We have about 104 kids, and we couldn't do it without you guys. Your support, your prayers is vital to making the changes in our life. Do have a couple quick prayer requests on that. We need to pray for India as a whole, but also our children's home in India. For those that don't know, India is one of the most persecuted countries. The militant Hindu government has one goal. is to get rid of all non-Hindu religions by 2020. All of them. Doesn't matter if you're Muslim, Baptist, Methodist, whatever, all non-Hindu religions. And they're going after the children's homes, they're going after the churches. Right now, between now and end of May, May 25th, I think it is, they're having a nationwide election. We need to pray that they can get a better government so that the Christians can thrive and exist. There is more Christians in India than there are in the United States. They're a smaller percentage, but there's more Christians. And they are persecuted, they are killed, their churches are burned. They're trying to shut down the children's homes. So we're making preparation to be able to get our kids taken care of and scattered around where we can still take care of the 54 kids that we have. So we really need to pray for India, but also pray for our newest home in the Philippines. Our home is in the country, on the island of Mindanao. If you know, Philippines is a chain of islands. Mindanao is the bottom one. Right now they're having a war with the Muslims. If you get on the websites, the government website, they said, do not come. I've been there. It's not a very safe area. But there's approximately 1.2 million homeless kids in India. And we're going to help as many as we can until the Lord takes us back. We're finishing up a building so that we can house 40 kids. Currently we have 5. But when this building gets done, we'll be able to house 40. And then in Mexico, hopefully next week or in the next couple weeks, I'll be able to travel down and finish paperwork where we can put both of our homes on the one piece of property. It'll be about a quarter of an acre walled inside a gated community, which will be very advantageous to us. We'll keep our kids safe and they can go outside and play. But we're growing. We're going to keep serving the Lord. We don't want to be an institution. We want to be a home for these kids. We want to be their moms, their dads, the place where they can come and learn about Jesus. And we sure can't do that without you. My wife and I spend about 10 months out of the year on the road. So if you could pray for us, we'd appreciate it. And I want to invite you to something. Saturday, May 25th from 2 to 4 p.m. at Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Mooresville, Indiana. It's about an hour and 40 minutes from here. We're going to have a cake reception for the Neffs. Just finished their 40th anniversary with the Lighthouse Children's Homes and kind of a going away. So we're going to have a little cake reception, a little time to celebrate them and the victories that the Lord has done. So if you can make it, you're invited. Come have a piece of cake, and we would love to see you. But again, thank you. We pray for you often. Just you keep sticking to the stuff, and we'll keep sticking to the stuff, and then we'll gather at the house. Thank you. Sure. Right.
Talk a little bit about those homes. My guess is they fill up about as fast as they put them together. I was a juvenile probation officer in years past, and also was one of the pioneers for our court-appointed special advocates program in Ripley County. And man, the woods are full of them. If you grew up in a Christian home, you better thank God for that. If you grew up with a home, thank God for that. All the blessings and the opulence of this country, and that most of us in here have enjoyed. And I know not everyone in here, because I know some folks here tonight have had a very rough troubled lives, but thank God for these homes. And what you try to do is get them saved, let them lead them to Jesus Christ, because don't expect them to be normal, but Jesus Christ can make survivors out of them, and testimonies, trophies of grace. Brother Ron.
All right, let's turn to our Bibles in Mark chapter 2. Preach a little bit on one of the greatest examples of soul winning. And what we try to do here at the Lighthouse Children's Home. Mark chapter 2. It's probably a very familiar passage. I'm going to talk about four of the greatest example of men of faith and soul winning that I've come across. It's a very challenging passage. But Mark chapter 2, we're going to look at the first 12 verses. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The Bible says, "And again he entered in Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoned in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason you these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for this passage about four guys that cared about one man. Thank you for all those that helped me to come to know you as my Lord and Savior. Lord, and I pray as we look into this passage, may we learn from these four guys and apply it to our lives. Lord, and I pray most of all, if there's someone here that has never trusted the Lord as their Savior, that tonight would be that day. They would just yield their hearts and their life to you, trust you as their Lord and Savior. Just bless our time. Help me to get out of your way and bring your message. Sassy sayings in the name of Christ. Amen. When I look in this passage, I see some people that I'd like to talk about. The first man I see is the one that they refer to as the one sick of the palsy. This guy was sick with the disease that had crippled him. All he could do was lay there. He was crippled and helpless. His only hope was a miracle. His only hope was Jesus. And you know what? He couldn't get there by himself. He had no ability to go there and hear Jesus preaching. The Bible says that Jesus was in Capernaum, and it was so noised in the house there that so many people knew it that the house was full. It was so full you couldn't even get close. But here lie this one man who needed Jesus desperately, but he had no way of getting there. It got me to think about some of the children that we've gotten and the lost that are around us. You see, the lost are sick. They're infirm. They have a disease. It's called sin. It's a genetic problem that we're all born with. And like this person, they're crippled and hopeless. And they need a miracle. And the same miracle that this guy needed is the same miracle that the lost needed. It was the same miracle that I needed. I needed Jesus. I needed Jesus in my life. It wasn't about my works. It couldn't be good enough. Man, I had been a member of a Baptist church, a Catholic church. I didn't go to church, and then I joined a Presbyterian church. I had religion covered, but I didn't have a relationship with God. I was a good moral man. I helped old ladies. I'd pet the dogs and kick the cats. I was a policeman. I put the bad people in jail. I was a good moral man, but morals aren't going to get you to heaven. I was a lost church member on the way to hell until 1999. And I realized one thing, that I was a sinner. I had never applied for all his sin to come short of the glory of God to me. I applied it to a lot of people, but not to myself. And I had a church in Talmadge, Ohio that loved me when I was unlovable. That looked past my attitude, my threatening to kill the pastor only once. Looked past all of that and saw a soul that needed Jesus. And I wonder how long that man had been laying there, this man sick of the palsy. I wonder how many people on their way to Jesus had walked by And we're excited about hearing Jesus and excited about seeing Jesus, but never paid a bit of attention to this man laying there. And that man may have laid there except for four extraordinary guys. Four guys that had some characteristics that we all need. Some characteristics that we need. Why? Because we're surrounded by lost. We have lost people in our families and around our work and even in our churches. People that need the same miracle, Jesus Christ. And these four guys will teach us about how to be a good soul winner. The first thing I notice about these four guys is they saw things just a little bit different. These four guys saw a person in need. They walked past this man and looked at him. I wonder how often as we go through our lives, as we travel to church or travel through our business or travel through our day, do we pass people that are sick, that are stricken with a disease called sin. Now those that we may call them different things. We may call them drunkards. We may call them fornicators. We may call them drug addicts and alcoholics and immoral. But what they are is a sinner that needs saved by grace. These four guys had a vision that we need. Folks, we need to see the lost for who they are. They're lost. Stricken with a disease that is curable under the blood of Jesus Christ. How often do you see those around you as lost? Do you see them as God sees them? Do you see them as a soul on the way to hell? Folks, we need a vision for the lost. These guys saw that. These men were men of faith. Why? Because they put their faith in action. How often do we talk about doing something, reaching the lost, instead of doing these guys? These four guys brought this man to Jesus, not because it was convenient or easy. Has anybody tried carrying someone on a stretcher? It is not easy. People think it's easy. You pick up a side. No. If you think it's easy, sometimes just YouTube soccer stretchers. You'll see them sitting on their heads, dropping them, rolling them all over. It is very difficult. And I'm going to tell you, it's the same way. When you try to bring the lost, it's not convenient.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Very few times when you're just minding your own business that you can lead someone to the Lord. It does happen, but most of the time we have to purposely go and find them. There'll be a few of them that will walk through this door and get saved, but most of them won't be that way. You're going to have to go out and find them and compel them and ask them and stay after them. We need to go and get them to bring him here. Why? Because they know that guy needed Jesus. Those four guys did not go and get this man just to get their name in the Bible, did they? They're called the men born of four. These guys were willing to do whatever it takes with one simple purpose, to get him from there to the feet of Jesus. That's all soul winning is. That's all soul winning is to put them at the feet of Jesus. It's not up to us to save them, but just to give them an opportunity to hear the gospel. That's why we invite people to church. That's why we soul win. That's why we're supposed to go out and hit the hedges and the highways. Just to give them an opportunity. How many times do people come to your door before you got saved? What if they had quit? Where would you be tonight? People ask me, how am I doing? I used to have a lot of answers for that. How you doing? Seems like a common question we ask in the States. How you doing? I used to say, I'm not too bad. Just bad enough, not too bad. Then I got saved. And in Costa Rica, I'll say something like, I don't know, my wife hasn't told me. So that's one of them. Or mi esposa dice yo es bueno. Bueno para nada. Translated is, my wife says I'm good. Good for nothing. When I went up to New England states, I messed with them. I said, I'm hanging in there like a hare in Satan's biscuit. They're like, huh? Didn't understand. I had absolutely no concept of that. But recently I've started saying, I'm doing better than I deserve. I'm doing better than I deserve. I deserve to be that man sick of the palsy. I deserve hell. Tell people the only reason Paul said he was the chief of all sinners is he never met me. But I have faith in a great God. If it hadn't been for somebody praying for me, tell me how I can have a personal relationship with God through Christ. How God loved me that he sent his only begotten son. And that if I put my faith in his death, burial, and resurrection as payment for my sin, I'd be a new creature. That stayed after me, that loved me to the door, Lord, that was like these guys, had one simple goal. Just to put me at the feet of Jesus. These four guys taught me that we can never quit because healing is just around the corner. I want to look at everything these guys did, everything these men went through, just to give this man the opportunity to have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Everything he did. Look what all they did. In verse 3, the Bible says they carried him. That's what the word born of four means. When it says, and they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. These four guys united together to carry him. Folks, and that's what we need to do. We need to, how do we carry the lost to Jesus? We pray. We gather together, we pray, we go, we seek. How many people prayed for you to be saved? It's unknown. But you were carried to the feet of Jesus in prayer. We need to pray for the Lord to give us opportunities to soul win. We need to pray for the lost. They overcame obstacles in the form of people. It says in verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for their press, they uncovered the roof where he was. They didn't let people get in the way. I can remember when I left the sheriff's department, one of my sergeants said, you know, I was called to preach. But my pastor said, you're crazy. You're mistaken. And he never darkened the door of a church again. Folks, sometimes we get in the way. Sometimes we let people turn us away from soul winning. We need not to do that. When we run into an obstacle, we need to find another way around. These guys did not quit. When their way was blocked, they found a different way. These guys, they went up the stairs, up to the roof, and took this man with them. And I want you to notice something. They uncovered the roof where he was. I want you to think about how they got that man up to the roof. They worked together. Can you picture as they're going up onto this roof how the guys in the back were struggling to hold that man high and hold the bed level so he didn't slide off? We must be willing to sacrifice all that we have to reach the lost. Why? Because that's what we're here for. That's what God's called all of us to do. Not just missionaries, not just pastors, not just Sunday school teachers, but every child of God is called to be a soul winner, to go and to tell. Then they tore open the roof. Can you imagine that being down there where Jesus was and he's sitting there preaching and all of a sudden things start falling? Here comes things coming, lights coming down. They had to make a pretty big hole. At least 6 foot, by my guess, about 6 by 2 hole. Well, why do you say that, Brother Ron? Well, look back in Look in verse 4 again. It says, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. What did they let down? The whole bed.
Yeah.
Not just part of it. These guys were compassionate. Now, if it had been me, I was taught if you make a mess, you clean it up. So most likely, if they tore open this roof, they're going to fix it, right? That's a big hole to fix. You know what I probably would have done? About a 2-foot hole and dropped them down. I would have just kicked them over through the hole and let them drop. Because if he had broken his leg, could Jesus have healed that? He's got to heal him from the palsy. What's a broken leg? Nothing. Well, what if he died? Well, can't Jesus heal people from the dead? Hadn't he done that? But that's not what these guys did. They treated him with compassion and caring because they knew he was sick. We baby our children when they're sick. We baby our animals when they're sick. But do we baby the lost because they're sick? Or do we call them names? You just need Jesus. You just need to get saved. We pick at them. We yell at them. Been around people that even made fun of them. But we need to learn from these four guys and treat them with compassion and care. Why? So that he had an opportunity to get healed at the feet of Jesus. That's all they wanted, was just an opportunity. Just an opportunity for this man to get healed. I'm here to tell you that we must do the same thing. We must see the lost for who they are. We must, by faith, go and reach them. Carry them to Jesus in faith and in prayer. And do whatever it takes just to give them an opportunity to hear the news. Reaching the lost is hard work. It takes compassion, faith, and effort. It takes not letting people get in your way. And it's going to take persistence and sacrifice on your part. But I'm here to tell you the rewards are worth it. Can you picture these four guys kneeling around that opening in the roof? As they see this man that they've just carried, I don't know how long they carried him. As they see this man that they've invested in, put their sweat in, laying there at the feet of Jesus. Can you see him looking down? And when Jesus says, "Thy sins be forgiven," can you see him going, he's talking to him. Hey, what did he say? Did he say it? His sins are forgiven. Yes. Wait. Did he just say arise? Take up thy bed and walk? Look, his boot's moving. His foot's moving. And they saw that man rise and stand. I'm going to tell you, when you see someone plucked from hell and made a new creature, there is nothing better. There's no better Super Bowl football game, World Series, NBA, whatever. There's no great score. When you see someone who is plucked from hell and set upon the rock, there is nothing like that. Have you ever seen that? When I look at this passage, I see a man who was forever changed because of four people. He had the simple faith that God could and would heal him. And then they were willing to do whatever it took to get him there. This man, I want you to notice, he was carried to Jesus. He was carried up the steps. He lay there while the roof was taken up. He lay there while he was lowered out. But he walked out carrying his bed. He walked out carrying his bed. I'm going to tell you, when you get saved, your walk's going to be different. You ain't going to be the same. These four guys had one goal and one goal that day. To put this man who couldn't help himself in front of the only hope he had. We all know someone who is lost, paralyzed by the disease of sin, whose only hope is Jesus. My question to you tonight is, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to be like so many of the people that were there? So busy and so concerned about getting a good seat that we walk past the people that need Jesus the most? Or are you willing to do whatever it takes to get the lost in front of the gospel? Do you see the lost as these guys did, with compassion and love? Or do you ignore their very need? Are you willing to put your faith in action to tell God, whatever it takes just to get him there, I'll do it? Well, are you willing to do whatever it takes to give them the opportunity to be saved? Or do you let people, work, and obstacles get in your way? At the Lighthouse Children's Home, that is our goal is not only to see the children's physical needs met, but our goal is and always will be to put them at the feet of Jesus. We are Christ-centered. This is the most important thing we teach our children. This is the most important thing at the Lighthouse. It's more important than chores, more important to school. It's for them to know how to have a relationship with God through Christ. My question to you tonight, will you put someone at the feet of Jesus today? I want to encourage you, if you know someone that's lost, to take some time tonight and pray for them. To take some time and pray for them tonight. And then go and tell. So let's stop talking about it. And let's start doing it. Let's start putting people in front of the only hope this world has. In front of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for these four guys that give us a great example on how to deal with the loss and how to have a vision for the loss. Lord, I thank you that there were so many people that carried me to you, that helped me to meet you so I could have a relationship with you. Lord, I pray we would all be soul winners here. But I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that is still sick and crippled with the disease of sin, that today they'd come forward and let someone take a Bible and show them how to be saved. Lord, help us to reach those that are around us. Give us a vision for the lost. Help us to reach those that are around us. Just ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen.